I know I'll get there. By the grace of God, I'll get there. Again, I'm very thankful to be here today, and I'm really thankful to the Lord to have had the privilege of being in the Missouri youth meeting this past couple of days, and we had wonderful services, and the Spirit of the Lord was with us. And I want to thank those that were able to go along for making the journey, and we had a good time traveling together and a good time there in the services. And Brother and Sister Collins and Sister Hatcher and Sister Shelby and Mackenzie went with us. And I just wanted to say today that if you're sitting next to any of them, I want you to keep an eye on them. You might need to, because I kept them out late. And it's good to be here. And I want to ask you today to pray for the message that the Lord will bless the reading and the preaching of His Word today to His honor and to His glory and to the benefit of humanity. Thank God for His Word. I love the Word of the Lord. I love to hear God's Word preached and God's Word taught, and thank God for His inspired Word. The Lord placed this thought upon my mind, and I just want to say this about the Word of God. He placed this thought upon my heart and upon my mind, and I thought, when He did, I thought, well, a lot of that's very similar to the message that I tried to bring last week. And then as soon as I thought that, I had this thought that whatever the Lord impresses is all that matters, because we will never wear out the Word of the Lord. We'll never wear out the truth. And sometimes I believe that, and God knows best, sometimes I believe that we need repetition. A man by the name of B.H. Carroll back in the 1800s once wrote that one of the greatest tools of teaching is repetition. Because he said, in most cases, we don't get it the first time. And I think there's probably some great wisdom in that statement. But I have some scripture that I would like to read, and if you would like to read with me today, I want to ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 59, and I want to begin reading there with the first verse. And I have just a short reading from this chapter. So we'll begin with Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. I want to read another verse from Isaiah chapter 30. If you would turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30, I want to read the first verse of Isaiah chapter 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. And the thought that I have upon my heart today, I want to talk about this thing called sin. And I want to use as a title this morning, The Consequence of Sin. Sin is all around us. You and I live in a nation today that's filled with sin. I mean, for anybody that would not be able to see that, they would have to have their eyes closed, wouldn't they? Because there's evil all around us. Sin is abounding all around us. Sin is something, and I want to give some examples, good Lord willing, and by His help as I go through this message today. But sin seems to breed sin. Sin doesn't bring forth good things. Sin brings forth more sin. And oftentimes sin gets added to sin. And we see that in the scriptures. And as I said, God will help me to bring forth some examples of that. Sin leaves behind it a trail of corruption. It leaves behind it heartaches. Sin has been the result of many broken homes. Sin has been the result of many ruined lives and is still doing that today. Sin, if it's allowed, will have an evil victory over your life if you allow it to. Sin is the leading cause of death in our world today, and it always has been. Now, from a medical standpoint, there are various things that people die of. People die of cancer. People die of heart disease. People die from accidents. There are many physical ways that we die. But ultimately, everybody that dies, dies as a consequence of sin. So every time that you look upon a body that is dead, that the spirit has departed that body, that natural death happened as a result of sin. And so today as we look at this, and I want to say that I believe in this, that the worst thing that sin can do, because to me there's a thought that even seems worse, I suppose, than death being a result of sin. And I believe that it was spoken about in this second verse in Isaiah chapter 59. And you may view things differently, I don't know. But when I think about sin and its consequence, when I think about what sin actually does to our lives, the worst thought that I have is that sin makes a separation between people and God. That happened in the very beginning of time when man first sinned. He became separated from God. He became spiritually dead in the eyes of God. Adam and Eve had a good, holy relationship with God before that happened. But once sin entered the picture, then they were separated from God. And I want you to know something today, that for about 6,000 years now, since the earth has started, since the earth has been in existence, that has not changed. Sin today still makes a separation between people and God. I'm telling you that sin will bring a nation to its knees. Sin will ruin a nation. And I'm not talking about bringing it to its knees in a good way. I'm talking about sin will cause a nation to fall. Sin will corrupt a government. And sin will do great damage to a church. Many times it has. If sin is allowed to continue, it will damage everything that gets in its path. There's a fury to sin. There really is. I mean, you may think of natural disasters. You may think of a horrible hurricane or a tornado rather, maybe an F4 or an F5 tornado. And I mean, when it sets down on the ground and it makes a path, the things that it heads towards, it just destroys things in its path. And that's exactly what sin will do. Sin will make a mess out of our lives. And I'll tell you what, from the very time, and this shows us how that God looks at sin, and I want to insert this here at this point. I want you to know today that God hates sin. I mean, you can take that to the bank. God hates sin. Oftentimes people, we have a tendency to try to justify things in our lives that really cannot be justified before God. I'm going to tell you something. If it's sin, no matter how much excuse that we may try to make, no matter how much that we may try to justify it before God, if it's sin, I promise you that God despises it. God hates it. I believe today in the world that we live in that we can look all around us if we are willing to, and we can see the great consequence of sin. We can see the damage that sin is causing. I want to share some scripture again with you. I guess that I'm somewhat into the book of Isaiah today, but I want to share some more scripture with you from the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. And let's begin reading with verse 4. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. Listen to this. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. I want you to look down, if you would. Let's drop down just a little bit. Verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. your hands are full of blood. And when I, you know, I sat down and I had something, and this was extremely sobering and eye-opening to me. I sat down just here perhaps 3 or 4 years back, and I was reading through the book of Isaiah, and I came to the part there where God began to address the nation of Israel in this way. And he said, all sinful nation, children that are corrupt, that are evildoers. And I began to read about the things that had happened, how that there were things, fire and various things that had devoured their land. And as I read about that, about this nation of Israel long ago and the things that God had to say about them, I got this overwhelming thought in my mind. You know what it was? I mean, this thought just overpowered me, and I thought, you know what? That sounds like the country that I live in. That sounds like the nation in which I live. Our country seems to have become a nation of evil doers, corrupt in so many ways, and everywhere that you look around, sin is abounding. Folks, I'm going to tell you something today. I'm not going to hold anything back about what I believe about it. It's just hard for me to imagine that people in our country today are even talking about whether or not it should be considered right or wrong for men to marry men and women to marry women. I'm going to tell you the truth today. I can't believe that we're even talking about it. I can't believe that it would even be, that there would even be a question about it. Those things are spelled out to us plainly in the scriptures. Those things are a gross abomination to God, and God has and God will bring judgment upon a nation that promotes and allows such despicable things. Can look for the hand of God to judge them. I mean, I can't believe that anybody would even question such a thing. But you know what? It's happening, isn't it? It's happening. I don't know. I didn't live in America 100 years ago. I wasn't born 100 years ago. I know what I have read about America 100 years ago or 200 years ago, and especially around the time of the birth of our nation. I don't believe those sinful questions like that were in existence the way that they are today. And so you see, sin just continues to breed, and it gets worse and it gets worse. And sin will separate a nation from the leadership of God. Sin will separate a government from the leadership of God. Listen, if you're lost today in sin, sin will separate you from the eternal blessing of salvation. It'll separate you from that. And in our Christian lives, sin will separate us from God. Now, if you've been saved, you'll never be separated to the point of being lost again. That'll never happen. We are secure in the Lord for all of eternity, but I'll tell you what it will do. It will separate us from the fellowship that we ought to have with God. It'll separate us from the protection that God is willing to give. It will separate us from the leadership that we need if we're going to properly live our lives, and sin in our lives will separate us from those benefits and blessings of the Lord. It's well proven in the scriptures. James said in James chapter 4, verse 17, and let me ask you, if you would, to consider this thought with me. Have you ever had something that you just knew was wrong? And you just knew it. Something maybe you had been taught along the way, something that you knew was just not right, but yet you went ahead and did it? We're guilty of that as people, aren't we? Something that we are well aware of is not right and that God is not pleased with, and just go ahead and do it. Well, James said in chapter 4 of the epistle of James, he said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Let me tell you something. When you're considering these things in your life, when there's something before you that you know that it's not right to do, and you say, well, but you know what? Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe nobody will get damaged from it. I'll just go ahead and do it, and perhaps there will be no consequences of it. Listen, friends, if it's wrong, if you know it's wrong, and you do it, it's sin, and there will be consequences. There will be a penalty to be paid. If God has shown to you that you are lost and separated from Him, you can try all that you want, and I'm not suggesting this, and please don't do this, but I'm saying that you can try as hard as you want to try to push that away from you and act like it's not happening. You can choose, if you so choose, you can listen to the devil when he comes and he tells you lies, when he might try to persuade you that there may be a better time to seek the Lord for salvation, when he tries to tell you that, you know, if you fall down before the Lord and cry out to God, that somebody may make fun of you, or whatever lie that the devil tries to tell you. Let me tell you, if God is moving on your heart and he's drawing you to him to repentance, if you fail to do that, friends, it's sin. It's sin. However, that we disobey God, it's sin. I wonder sometimes how much sin is really in our lives that we don't even look at. I'll tell you what, if you look into the Word of God, it'll expose it. It sure will. You know what? If we've got the things that we need, we're, you know, let me put it this way. Let me just try to use a simple illustration here today. If you've got a vehicle that'll get you down the road and all you can think about is getting a better one, friend, it's sin. It's sin. The Bible says that all covetousness is idolatry, and when we covet the things of this world, these temporal things of the world, when we're not content with the things that we have, but we just want more and we want more and we want more, and let me tell you what that will lead to. If you don't control those things in your life and let God control those things in your life, it will eventually lead you away from God, and it will lead you to where it will consume your time trying to have those things. And before you know it, and many people have left God behind, just left Him behind to try to gain the things of the world. And it's sin. It's sin for you and I to covet the things, the temporal things of this life. I didn't really know, to be honest with you, when I came today, the direction that the message would go. But we'll just let the Lord take care of that. We'll just let the Lord direct it. Sin has brought destruction upon this world in so many ways. I mean, in so many ways, it's happened already. Look around today. Look around. I mean, don't we see the very things that the Bible talked about here that was happening to the nation of Israel because of their sin? I mean, you look around today, every time that you open the newspaper, or every time you turn on the news on TV, it seems like there's another disaster somewhere. You know, the forests are being burned up, or somebody, you know, people are being ran from their homes by floods. And I mean, there's just all sorts of disasters all around us today. And I believe that we have a tendency to look at these things and say, yeah, boy, nature's a rough thing, isn't it? The forces of nature can really be rough. Well, listen, who controls nature? God controls it, doesn't he? God can send a flood, and God can stay a flood. God can send a fire, and God can put a fire out. God controls it all. And many, many times in the Bible, we find that cities being burned, being flooded, these things coming up on them. In the days of Joel, an army of locusts, if you can imagine that, God used an army of locusts to invade the land and devour the crops. How many times do we see that? You know, the crops are planted, it's springtime, the crops are planted, and so often we just can't seem to get any rain, it seems, to water them, and things begin to burn up and dry up. And in the days of Joel, there was an army of locusts that God sent through the land and devoured the land and the crops because of their sin. Folks, it's my firm belief that there are things happening in our land today because of sin that we just write off as something else. God will bring judgment upon sin. And ever since Adam sinned, ever since man chose to disobey God and bring sin into the world has known disaster because of it. And there have been great consequences because of sin. Now, I know that's a dismal picture, but let me say this. Can you imagine, with all that sin does to us, can you imagine if God had left us without remedy? I don't even want to think about it. Can you imagine where we would be had not God given a remedy for sin? We'd have no hope, would we? We'd live our lives here in this world, and we'd do nothing but live a life full of troubles and trials, and then we'd lay down and we would die, and we'd go to hell. And if that happened to us, that would be just exactly what every one of us deserve, because we are all guilty of sin. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if God would have just turned his back on humanity and said, because of their sin, because of their voluntary choice to disobey me, I'll have nothing to do with them whatsoever. They're just on their own to live the way they'll live, and to die and to split hell wide open for eternity. God could have chosen to do that, and he would have been just in doing it. But God gave us a remedy for sin. Friends, I'm telling you today, there's a remedy for sin. And thank God that there is. But listen, if you're here today and you're lost, or if you're here today and you're saved, sin is something that just as soon as it pops up, it needs to be gotten rid of. We don't need to harbor sin in our lives. We need to repent of it. You know, the Lord gave us a means of being able to get rid of sin. And just as soon as we see our sins, and you know, I know that conviction of sin is not a pleasant thing, but thank God for his Holy Spirit convicting us of our sin, because if we were not made to see it, we would never turn from it. The Holy Spirit moves upon us and he convicts us of our sin, and he shows us our sinful condition. And when God does that, we need to turn to him in repentance and get rid of our sin. And so thus, you and I we have need of repentance every day that we live, because every day we're going to be guilty of sin. If you're here today and you're lost, sin has got you in its clutches. I mean, it's got a hold of you. And it's going to result in death. And you need to get it under the blood. You need to get that sin under the blood of Jesus Christ and have it washed away. And there's nothing but His blood that can wash it away. You need to turn to Jesus and turn to Him in repentance. That's the only way that we can go to get away from sin. Because in repentance, what happens is we turn from our sin and we turn towards God. And the only way to escape the penalty of sin is by turning in repentance to the Lord and forsaking that sin and crying out to God for His cleansing, for His forgiveness. Friends, listen, lost friend, let me tell you something today. If you're lost and in your sin, it's going to kill you. In fact, it already has. If you're lost today, you're already dead in trespasses and in sins. You're dead. And only God can make you alive. Only God. Brother Wheat, in his Sunday school lesson, for several weeks now, for a good long while now, has been teaching us things about the life of David. David was a good man, wasn't he? David was a good king. He was a good king. He did a lot for the people of God, for the nation of Israel. They prospered under David's kingship, far greater than they did under Saul's. They were a strong nation of people under the kingship of David, and he was a man after God's own heart. But if you're a Bible reader at all, you know about what David did. David looked upon a woman one day, and he lusted after this woman. He sinned against God. And he brought her, he had her brought unto him. And David had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. And God punished him for his sin. You know, David was the king. He was the king over a nation. And I suppose that he thought he could do whatever he wanted to. I suppose he began to think about this power that he had. And he thought that he could just do whatever he wanted to. And so he had this woman brought unto him. But listen, it doesn't matter what position that you have in life. It doesn't matter how much, you know, we've had some of the our political leaders in recent years have abused their power and just supposed that they could do the things that they wanted to do because they were in power. But listen, we are all under the eyes of God, and He sees everything that we do. And God knew what David had done. And I'm telling you, it wreaked havoc on his life. And let me tell you something, friends. I want you to remember this about sin. When we choose to sin against God, it can be forgiven. And God is willing. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 that if we confess our sins before Him, that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But remember this one thing about sin. When you choose to sin against God, even after God grants forgiveness, if you go to Him and truly repent, even after He grants forgiveness, sin can damage your life to where it can never be repaired. Even though you've been forgiven. you study the life of David, and you'll find out that this good king, this man that was a very successful leader and a good king, once that he had sinned against God the way that he did, he got forgiveness for the Lord. But you study the kingship of David after that he had sinned, and it never regained. It never became what it was before that he sinned. And God told him, the sword will always be upon your house. And it was. There was violence in his family. I mean, there are so many today. I still think about the scripture that we spoke about a few weeks back, that God will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of them that hate him. Our sin, the things that we choose to do, we may choose to do it, and we may go to God, and we may get forgiveness of it, but there can still be consequences that will fall upon our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and those that follow. Friends, there are consequences for sin. You better think long and hard and choose to do what's right. Sin shouldn't even be, it just needs to be dismissed. Can it be done? Yeah, if you'll go to God, it can. There's not a temptation that you and I will ever have that God can't help us to overcome. Not one. I don't care how strong it's tugging at you, how powerful that it is, how tempted that you are to do something wrong. There is not a single sin that you'll ever be tempted with that cannot be overcome if you'll go to the Lord and ask Him for the strength to overcome it. He won't place anything on us that we're not able to bear. Because you see, Jesus, our high priest, was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And so he's qualified to give us the victory over every temptation that we ever have. There was a phrase, and I'm going to close here in a moment, Lord willing. There was a phrase that was popular, I believe, in the 60s. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. No, I want you to know something. Every sin is your choice. Don't ever try to place it on anybody else. Don't ever try to put it on anything else. You know, you'll never get past sin until you accept the responsibility for it. Lost friend, listen, you're going to stand before God one day and account for yourself. Yourself. You won't be able to say to God, well, you know, the preacher that I listened to wasn't very good. He didn't preach good enough. He didn't explain things to me well enough. Or the church that I went to, they were cold. They didn't persuade me. You won't be able to use anything for an excuse before God. One of these days, you'll stand before Him and you will account for your individual sin as the individual that you are. And when we sin against God, every one of us, we are responsible to God for our own iniquity. And don't ever say the devil made me do it or somebody else caused me to do it, because we are responsible for what we do. The devil, he'll dangle the carrot in front of you, but it'll be your choice to eat it, I guarantee you. He can't make us do anything unless we allow him, unless we choose. He can't make us do anything. We're responsible to God for our lives. I've seen people in my life, their lives were so messed up because of sin. And they just kept getting worse and worse and worse because they would not take responsibility for their sin. They just, I've talked to people. Well, you know, this wouldn't have happened if so-and-so wouldn't have done this. You know, if this wouldn't have happened over here and here with so-and-so, I wouldn't be in this shape. Listen, friends, that doesn't cut it before God. We're responsible to Him for our sins. If you're lost today and without God, sin, I mean, it's an eternal killer. It'll ruin your soul. It'll take you down to the eternal depths of hell to suffer there for all of eternity if you don't repent of your sins and trust the Lord to save you. It'll be to the detriment of your immortal soul. To the church, the people of God, if we don't do the very best that we can to keep sin out of the church, we'll lose power with God. I guarantee you we will. We'll lose power with God. To the nation, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible says that righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is an abomination to anybody, to any people. Sin will cripple a nation. It'll cripple a nation. Sin and its consequences. Boy, I mean to tell you, it's got them. If you're lost and in sin, you need to repent before the Lord and trust Him to be saved. If you're saved, we need to repent daily of the sin in our lives. Think about it. Think about it tonight, if you will. Before you lay down tonight to go to sleep, think about it. I've sinned today. I need to get rid of this. I need to retire this day with a clean slate and get rid of it. And tomorrow, it may not be nighttime, it may happen in the daytime, but tomorrow I'm going to need to do the same thing. Because John also told us, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And every man will die for his own iniquities. I hope that something's been said today that's been a help. Sin's a killer. It's a killer. Brother Sanford, I'd like to ask the congregation to stand. Let's have a hymn. God bless you. I appreciate your attention today.